Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The fact that I had instructed all of our pastors not to give him Holy Communion, which of course is patently false. I have no idea where he came up with that little piece of fiction.
Right now we have 50 million people who are uninsured. You mean to tell me Catholic Church is going to be denying those people life-saving health care? I thought they were pro-life.
The Manhattan Declaration arose out of people wringing their hands. What do we do? We see attacks on religious liberty, on the sanctity of life, and on marriage. It was a time to draw a line in the sand and say, here's where we stand, and we're not going to compromise.
I thank God that I get the opportunity to do what I love to do, which is play baseball. I pray and I ask God to keep me healthy and to do whatever I can to represent Him first in the field and to try to help the Cardinals organization to get to the World Series.
This was going to happen sooner or later. The Roman Catholic Church, in many ways, morally, socially, stands like a wall in society, a wall that, yes, popular society has been trying to scale it for some time or tear it down. And inevitably, the values espoused by the Roman Catholic Church, not only for the church's members, but for society in general, were going to run head on into kind of the sensibilities of secular humanism and the liberalizing tendencies of American society. And it is right in our nation's capital. We're going to be talking here in this hour of Issues Etc. for the first half hour during some audio open lines about Catholic Church's policies and the government social policies running head on in our nation's capital and elsewhere. It's audio open lines here for the first half hour. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A little audio open lines, and then Dr. J.P. Moreland will join us. We're going to talk about the end of naturalism, what naturalism is and how it is not only self-refuting, but really a very narrow way of looking at the world. It claims to be a broader way of looking at the world, but it is actually a very narrow way of looking at the world. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 25th of November. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Now, we're going to be hearing a roundtable discussion from National Public Radio about the Catholic Church and government social practice. In the roundtable, there'll be a representative, a former president of Catholics for Choice, a pastor who is prominently speaking on these issues, and a Catholic university professor talking about these things. But I want to hear from you. What should the Catholic Church do if being asked by government social policy to, say, provide adoption services for same-sex couples? What should they do? 1-877-623-6943. I'd also like your general reaction to the conversation. 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can email us right here in the studio. We are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, you don't have to be Roman Catholic to hold an opinion on this. Because, of course, what the Roman Catholic Church really does is represent, in some ways, represent, at least in that social moral a sense, the general position of the Christian, at least historic Christian church, on these societal issues. So I want to hear from you whether you're Roman Catholic or not. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. As you listen to the roundtable, you're going to hear varying opinions here. I want you to weigh them, assemble your questions, your comments, and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's listen to this roundtable on the issue of Catholic Church, the Catholic Church's values and government social policies from National Public Radio.
A showdown between an Irish-American congressman and a Catholic archbishop could be the makings of a Martin Scorsese flick, but it's real. The congressman is Democrat Patrick Kennedy of Rhode Island. Last month, he criticized the Catholic Church for lobbying for abortion restrictions in health care legislation, and he asked how the church could oppose, quote, the biggest social justice issue of our time. Bishop Thomas Tobin of Providence publicly questioned Kennedy's faith and suggested he leave the church. Then last weekend, Kennedy fired back. He revealed that 2 years ago, the bishop had asked him to stop taking Holy Communion because of his pro-choice views. The controversy illustrates a larger debate about the Catholic Church's priorities and core values. Joining us now to talk about this is Frances Kissling. She's former president of Catholics for Choice and a visiting scholar at the University of Pennsylvania's Center for Bioethics. Also, Bishop Harry Jackson. He's senior pastor of Hope Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area. Also, founder and chair of the High Impact Leadership Coalition, a nationwide group of ministers who advocate for traditional family values, and Professor Stephen Schneck. He directs the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at the Catholic University of America. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Stephen Schneck, first, let me ask you, the Catholic Church does appear to be putting its anti-abortion stance ahead of a social justice issue like expanding health care. Does it risk alienating some of its own members in this way?
I think from the church's perspective, and I should be clear that I'm speaking for myself and not for the church or the university and so forth. From the church's perspective, they're equally serious about both commitments. That is, equally serious about passing comprehensive health care legislation, believe that it's a fundamental right for Americans to have access to health care. But at the same time, you know, their concerns about abortion and federal funding of abortion in this bill is, I think, something that we're all familiar with.
Does the church take its image like this into account when it decides to speak out on this social policy issue?
The church likes to think that it's not acting on the basis of image, but instead making its decisions on the basis of, you know, what is the moral thing.
All right, I want to hear from you. We'll hear more of this roundtable in just a moment. A very good question raised first there in the roundtable, and that is the Roman Catholic Church, in the person of the bishops who have been objecting to some of these things, are they putting their anti-abortion stance, the words of the reporter, not mine, I would say pro-life stance, over other social justice issues? Now, the response from the professor there at the Catholic University of America, that would be Stephen Schneck, was, no, they hold them in the same regard. I'm not sure that's true. I think when push comes to shove, and rightly so, the Roman Catholic bishops have said, when it comes to the issue of abortion, it is of a different caliber than other social issues. Yes, we have a mandate for both from Holy Scripture and the tradition of the church, but when it comes to protecting the unborn, that issue is of a different caliber, the same cloth, but of a greater caliber than other social justice issues. And if push comes to shove, then abortion really does get pushed to the fore as a greater concern. Do you agree with that position on the Roman Catholic Church, or do you think they really should have all the other social issues juggled together as one equal priority? Balance them all as one priority. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We're listening to a National Public Radio roundtable on the Catholic Church and government social policy.
Bishop Jackson, even if abortion restrictions are included in a final health care package, I mean, abortion will still be legal in this country, right? So explain to me, what is the importance of having this fight now?
Well, I think the importance is the church has got to make it clear that she's not wavering on her commitment to a very high moral priority that she has. And I think that oftentimes when you're dealing with politicians, you live in the world of compromise. In the world of faith, you live in a world of absolutes. And whenever you have to deal with faith intersecting politics, it becomes very, very murky. So, in essence, the Roman Catholic Church is saying what my own church says. We want to support people. We want to help people. But don't ask me to stop being a Catholic or evangelical or a Baptist in order to help someone.
Francis Kissling, you used to head Catholics for Choice. The stance against abortion is a fundamental belief to the Catholic Church. Why shouldn't church officials try to restrict federal funding for it?
Well, I would question whether it would be what we would call a fundamental belief. It's certainly a vehement belief on the part of the hierarchy that abortion is morally wrong. But there are a lot of other fundamental beliefs in the Catholic Church that cut against the grain in terms of believing that because you believe abortion is wrong, you have to make it illegal. Or in the case of health care reform and the denial of federal funds for poor women, that you have to target the poor and the powerless as a way of making your moral point of view. The church wants to work to make abortion illegal. I think they have a right to try and do that. I find it very difficult to accept a church that would pick on the poor as a way of making a moral point.
All right. That's why I asked the question I asked before. Because you have a divide here, even within the mind of the Catholic Church in America. Some say, look, if you're against abortion, that's fine. But you need to balance it out with other social justice concerns. It can't rise up above the protection of the unborn, can't rise up above other social justice concerns. And you just heard it from Francis Kissling, the former president of Catholics for Choice, that it's kind of a way of saying, look, every time the bishops raise the objection about abortion funding and healthcare or something like that, the objection becomes, well, come on, you got to get your priorities straight or balance them out. You're making abortion too important. You got to balance it out. In other words, push abortion down the list of priorities because other things are equally important. How do you respond to that argument? 1-877-623-6943. This is what Catholics are being asked to do by liberal society and about liberal voices within the Catholic Church. How do you think they should respond when they object to abortion? And the response is, well, you care too much about abortion. You need to care about the other things, too. Let's hear less from you about abortion, less objection from you about abortion. How would you respond to that? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines this Wednesday afternoon, the 25th of November. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Your general reaction to this roundtable we're playing for you from National Public Radio on the Catholic Church and government social policies. This is only the beginning, folks. It's only the start of the Catholic Church's sensibilities along, and they do represent the sensibilities of many other Christians in the United States, butting heads with government social policy. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later, Dr. J.P. Moreland will join us. We'll talk about naturalism. Tomorrow, we'll study the praise and adoration hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, with Pastor Will Wheaton. Stay tuned.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. We're talking about the Catholic Church and government social policies. It's Audio Open Lines this Wednesday afternoon, November the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. This email from Carrie in Minnesota. I need to respond. What's more important than life? How can anyone have the right to pursue the pursuit of happiness and liberty without life? Well, that's a great point, Carrie. Thank you very much for listening in Minnesota. It's actually a point made by brighter minds than ours, that when these fundamental human rights, these basic inalienable rights, in the words of the Declaration of Independence, when these things are listed, life is first for a reason, because it is basic to the others, to all others, that without the right to life, no other inalienable rights really make any difference. Take away the right to life and all the others become moot points. Quite right, Carrie, and thank you for pointing it out, which is why, historically, both Catholic and non-Catholic Christian theologians, when facing these issues in society, have recognized that the right to life, whether it's end of life, beginning of life, all of those things, right to life is an issue of a greater caliber because it is a fundamental right, even more fundamental than the other fundamental rights. It's basic to all others. It is the right without which there are no other rights. That's simply a logical point. How do you think the Catholic Church should respond when faced with government policies that call for compromise? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Perhaps you'd like to respond to Carrie as well. Agree or disagree? Back to our roundtable discussion from National Public Radio about the Catholic Church and government social policies.
The other element of this is that we also have a fundamental belief in the Roman Catholic Church and in most religions that individuals have a right to follow their conscience, even when their conscience disagrees with what the Church teaches. You know, with all due respect, the Pope doesn't decide whether I go to heaven or not. God decides whether I go to heaven.
So do you think that the Church risks alienating some of its own members with this effort to insert abortion restrictions in healthcare legislation?
Well, it's going to alienate some of its members for doing this, and it's going to make some of its members happy. There's no question that within the Catholic community, people have differing views on the subject of abortion and differing views on the subject of whether the bishops should get involved in the political process. It's certainly making a lot of legislators unhappy and can't be making our president terribly happy because he's highly desirous of getting this health care reform passed.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The Catholic Church has had a visible role in the health care reform debates. Some say that's appropriate. Others argue it's overstepping boundaries. We're talking to Bishop Harry Jackson and Catholic scholars Francis Kissling and Stephen Schneck. Now, there's another church state battle right here in Washington, D.C. The city council is expected to soon pass a law that would recognize same-sex marriages and make sure that groups receiving city funds do that as well in terms of company benefits and so forth. Catholic Charities says if this happens, it could no longer take city contracts to feed and house the poor. And we should add that Catholic Charities serves some 68,000 people, including about a third of D.C.'s homeless population. Here's a clip of Donald Worrell. He's Archbishop of Washington, D.C.
We shouldn't have to give up our faith convictions, our profoundly held faith convictions, in order to be able to work with the District of Columbia.
Francis Kissling, do you agree?
Well, I don't think that the Church should give up its deeply held faith, but I think that when you decide to use public funds and to participate in social services in the context of a city or a democratic government, then you face a hard choice. But the choice here is the hard choice for the institutional Church. If you don't want to follow these rules, then raise money from Catholic people to do these social services and don't expect to get government funds in order to provide these services.
We'll take a break in listening to our roundtable, but I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. How do you respond to Francis Kissling, who says, look, the Catholic Church has got a choice to make here. If it's going to take government funds to help do these things in society, then it's going to have to go along with the regulations the government might put on it, even if it is, in one form or another, approving of same-sex marriage, as in the case of the D.C. regulation. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-6943. Sumner in Arnold, Missouri says, one of the quotes that I repeat to those who are wishy-washy about the religion, confession, church, quote, if you're going to be a Baptist, be the best Baptist you can be. If you're going to be a Roman Catholic, be the best you can be, and so on. As a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I've proclaimed that I would die for the Book of Concord as an exposition of God's Word, so I have trouble with those who won't stand by the convictions of their church on a basic tenet of their church. Thank you very much, Sumner. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, what we're seeing here is a definite disagreement in the Roman Catholic Church, at least among its membership. And that is, there are some who say, my conscience governs what I will believe and what I will support and what I will oppose, as opposed to saying the church in its, well, it's not only an issue of church authority. The church has teachings, and if I'm going to call myself a Roman Catholic, I either buy into those teachings or I don't. There are conscience Catholics, those who say, I'll decide what I want to believe of the church's teachings, and those who say, no, if I'm going to take the name, I need to either buy into the teachings or not. Back to the roundtable from National Public Radio.
Stephen Schack, what about that? Is there a way to reconcile these conflicting priorities?
Well, in the end, actually, I think that Councilman David Catania's suggestion to follow the San Francisco model on this question is probably the way to go. That is, in fact, to treat domestic partners equivalent benefits to spousal benefits.
Almost a don't ask, don't tell approach.
Exactly.
Bishop Jackson, what do you, you recently wrote a piece for Town Hall magazine essentially answering the question of whether these two priorities can be reconciled with a no, and yes. And the title of that was called Can Jesus Be Blackmailed? Can you tell us what you mean?
What I mean by that is that the city has enjoyed the benefit of service for a number of years based on the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church and other churches. Now the city still wants the services. They make a contribution, but it's shy of about $10 million, and it's also shy a lot of volunteer time. And we've got homeless people that need mental care as well as physical care who are becoming more and more potentially violent. And all of a sudden, because one group is going to be upset, we're making new laws, we want to say, hey, you've got to do this. It's your responsibility, Mr. Churchman.
I want to hear from you. Do you think that the Catholic Church should just tell the government, in this case the D.C. government, to take the money and run? Say, go ahead, take your money. We don't need it. We're still going to help the poor one way or the other. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Catherine calling from her car. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I just went under a bridge. But anyway, I guess the thought of the social issues, I think it's important for us to look at the whole issue of slavery. And the question I like to ask is, you know, is slavery a moral issue that should stay within the church, or is it actually a social issue? And so when slavery was finally, you know, the chili boiled over and people said, you know, we're not going to have this. This is a moral issue that is terrible and it's awful, and we cannot stand. When the president of the United States at that time, Lincoln, decided we're going to go into a civil war, he was very unpopular, and people, he actually even, you know, had house arrests, and he put a whole city, you know, under martial law. I mean, he was, you know, if you took that kind of action nowadays, you would just be horrified at it.
Catherine, thank you very much. Well, Catherine makes the analogy between abortion and slavery. It was a no-brainer, wasn't it? Well, it wasn't actually at the time, but in retrospect, we look back and we say, yeah, the religious convictions there did not remain private religious convictions. They found their way into society. Here's Steve calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Our time is short here, Steve.
No, Rob. Well, the problem we have here is a basic issue is when the church and state get into embed together, eventually the state will try to coerce the church into whatever position. This is just one example. But what happens is then the church, because the church, in this case, through the church teachings of caring for the poor, the state's kind of using that as their cheap way to do it for the instead of doing it themselves. And I think the Catholic Church is right to say, hey, we don't take the money, do it yourself, we will continue to do our work, but then the D.C. government or whatever government then becomes responsible for doing something that they've kind of, if you will, outsourced.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you very much, Steve. You know, the Catholic Church says, you know, if you want to help us do what we're going to do anyway, then fine, we'll take the government contracts. But if those government contracts come with a string attached, namely that we need to approve of something that is contrary to our teaching, contrary to our sensibilities, contrary to our conscience, then we can't take the money. It's that simple. Now, I think that government agencies look in on that and say, how could anyone refuse our largesse? How could anyone refuse to be a conduit for the flow of money that we can make go hither and yon in society? Well, the Roman Catholic Church has demonstrated that sometimes living in a world as alien and strangers, sometimes Christians have to say no, even when someone's offering you money. I think Bishop Jackson put it very well in posing that question, can Jesus be blackmailed? The answer is no, and God hopes neither can his followers in this world. We'll be right back to talk about naturalism with Dr. J.P. Moreland.
No, I won't back down. You can stand.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, using all original content, features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it that helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the new Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The curse that keeps on giving.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a recent Breakpoint article, Chuck Colson discussed a terrifying trend in China where young boys are abducted from their families. Due to China's one-child policy and the Chinese tradition that sons take care of aged parents, families pay thousands of dollars for the son they weren't allowed to have. Human rights advocates insist that there may be several hundred thousand stolen boys, which Colson calls an inexcusable but foreseeable result of China's war against life. Currently, China has 32 million more males than females under age 20, and abortion has killed 16 million baby girls.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.